morning's reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, and verses 10 to 23. This can be found on page 1116. Philippians 4, verses 10 to 23. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All the Lord's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Really good to be back with you again at Hartford Baptist. It's been a few months, I don't know which week it was, a few months since I was last here. And it's been some pretty epic changes in our family in the last few months. We are just about to move away to a new ministry situation. Can't be too public about that, but it's going to be a big upheaval. But even more significant, I think, probably for us is this little girlie arriving into our family 8 weeks ago. God blessed us with a little baby daughter, Clemmy. I don't just show that to you as a proud father, though us dads have to show pictures of our daughters. The early days of being a dad had their unique joys, don't they? And their very, very unique challenges as well. And some guys are smiling at me. Big challenges. And I share that because one of the two big themes we're going to pick out of Philippians 4 this morning is all about how we handle the challenges of life as God's people. It's a big, big issue because challenges don't stop coming, do they? How are we going to handle them? Well, here is one possible way. I don't know if you've seen the most current Honda advert. I'm not a salesman for Honda, but I just saw this the other night when I was watching some sport, and I thought, great way into our theme this morning. So look, listen very carefully, or look very carefully. It's very fast, but Honda's recent advert. Told you it was fast. Advertising's expensive, isn't it? I show that because it kind of summarizes a lot of popular psychology. You've just got to push further. You've just got to try harder. You've just got to dig deeper and go inside and find those hidden resources. What did it say? We're all capable of doing the most incredible things if we just push more. We hear that in all kinds of shapes and guises day to day in our society. But in Philippians 4 verse 13, although Paul seems to be saying something quite similar, he's saying something radically different. Look at it again. Philippians 4 verse 13. He starts off in a similar way, doesn't he, to the Honda ad. I can do everything, he says. Then this radical shift, not by looking in me, but I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's a very different approach to life, isn't it? I can do the most extraordinary things if I simply learn to trust Jesus Christ, who's the giver of all strength. Very different approach to life. But what an awesome promise that is this morning for us. We can do everything through him who gives us strength. What is the everything? You might say that's a silly question. It's everything. But I know as a teenager, I memorized this verse, and I think I thought it meant, okay, well, I can get that place at university, and I will get that job and that girl. I can get a clean bill of health because, hey, Jesus Christ is with me. Is that what Paul is promising? Is that what he's saying? I don't think so, because verse 13 follows verse 12, doesn't it? Which may not sound like rocket science, but it's incredibly significant here. The everything Paul says he can do must be the stuff of verse 12. So verse 12, what did it say? Well, he says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I mean, that was Paul's experience in a nutshell. So when he says that through Christ's help he can do everything, it must be talking about the content of verse 12. So when he says I can do everything, what he must mean is that with Jesus with me, with him giving me the strength I need, I can do and I can go through whatever it is that God is calling me to do and to go through. Whether that is comfortable things or whether that is times when I feel in the most acute need and want in my life. But with him I can do it. So let's fill in the blanks as we consider what we're facing today. I don't know you very well, most of you, but what you're facing the next 24 hours, this coming week, what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what is causing you anxiety, what challenges are we facing right now? Philippians 4:13, I can do, ... Fill in the blanks. Because whatever it is we're facing, Paul says we can get through it. Because Jesus Christ is with us to strengthen us. Whatever it is. That's an extraordinary promise, isn't it? We're going to jump to a few other verses now just to labour this, the beauty of this promise. It's massive and it can drastically affect how we face this week if we allow God's truth to penetrate our hearts. So let's jump from Philippians into 2 Corinthians, because Paul made a very similar promise in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And this has to be one of the most amazing promises in the whole Bible. The context is God providing financially for his people, but I think it's quite appropriate to apply it to every aspect of our lives. So here it comes. Paul says that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you get that? Our God is able to make his grace abound to us minute by minute so that we will have all that we need for whatever it is he is calling us to go through. I mean, Paul couldn't stack up more superlatives if he tried, could he? All things at all times, having all that you need. And whatever it is that you feel you need, what you're facing, it's in here, isn't it? All things at all times. And God's promise, his grace will be enough. That's the promise. That is true this morning, right now. That'll be true tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. That'll be true 3 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, when I'm really considering whether I can do this parenting thing anymore. Have those moments, I really do. It'll be true in that GP appointment when the diagnosis you dreaded is given. Be true when your boss calls you into his office and just says to you, regrettably, your services are no longer required. Be true when that loved one suddenly is taken from you. Everything is included, isn't it, in this promises, huge promises that, as people, we cannot go through. They're too much, aren't they? But God's promise is, with Jesus, we can. Paul put it more simply, 2 Corinthians 9, later in the same letter, or God put it more simply, when he said to Paul, going through an intense time of trial, God simply said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. Or back to our key verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can endure through all things through Christ who strengthens me. Awesome promises, aren't they? And God's call to you and me this morning is to simply trust him. To take his word as it is. To believe these promises are true and they are real. And to trust him afresh. And what will that look like, to trust these promises? Well, it's going to mean more than just taking these words and memorizing them and letting them float around in our minds. I mean, that's a helpful thing, to renew our minds. But often I get stuck at that point, and I don't go to the next point, which is where I really trust Jesus, and I throw myself on him, and I cry out to him to do what he's promised to do for me. We need to have a transaction with God, don't we? And say to God at that moment of trial and difficulty, Lord, you promise me that your grace is enough. I read it here. You know I need it right now, so would you please, please provide it? That's what it's going to mean this week, to trust God at his word. A couple more verses that just labour the point more, and I found these really helpful the last couple of years through some stormy times. Matthew 6, well-known words addressing anxiety, fears, worries, when Jesus says, quite simply, do not worry about tomorrow. Then these interesting words, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Enough. How much trouble is enough? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? But Jesus is clear, there will be trouble today. There will. And there will be trouble tomorrow. You're living in a broken, fallen world. There will be trouble. And then line that up with an amazing promise in Lamentations chapter 3. Where, if you know your Old Testament history, Jerusalem is being destroyed, defeated by the powers of Babylon. And things had got so bleak that women were boiling their own children to eat them. That's how bad things had got, and God gives this promise, and verse 22 starts by saying, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, or his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can you see the relationship between those two passages? Jesus says tomorrow there will be trouble. Very realistic, isn't he, Jesus? But God also says something else will happen tomorrow. My mercies will arrive fresh and new for you to meet those new troubles tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the principle. Today's grace that God promises to pour into our lives is sufficient for today's trouble. Not tomorrow's. Today's trouble. And there'll be new grace arriving tomorrow for tomorrow's trouble. And this is an amazing way to think about your future, whether that's tomorrow or next week or next month, whatever it is. Because in a crisis, what do we normally think? We normally start thinking, I can't make it. I can't go on. I can't handle this. And we think like that because we look at the resources we have for today, but then we look at the problems of today, tomorrow, next week, the rest of the year, and so on, and we think, I can't handle it. And Jesus would say, you are right, you cannot handle it, and you're not meant to handle it. Today's grace is enough for today's trouble. And tomorrow, you've got to trust me that a whole new package of resources and mercies and grace will arrive. Beautiful. It's Philippians 4 again, isn't it? Verse 13. I can do all things. I can get through whatever it is through Christ who strengthens me. Powerful. Beautiful. Encouraging words. That's the first big theme that Paul hits here. That in a general sense, God's grace is enough. It is sufficient. But let's sharpen the focus a bit, because Paul sharpens the focus. And the particular issue he's addressing in Philippians chapter 4 is money. It's financial support for his ministry, because he's an itinerant preacher moving around, and he needs to live, he needs to eat. And in verse 10, if you look back at it, you'll realize that these believers in Philippi have been providing for Paul, sending gifts to him. And so Paul is praising God for them, verse 10. Look at the words. Because at last, he says, you have renewed your concern for me. That's interesting. At last. And reading between the lines, you get the impression that Paul has kind of been pushed to the edge a little bit of survival. At last, a gift, some resources arrived. Verse 14, he says, it was good of you to share like this in my troubles. Verse 15, at one point you were my only supporting church. Praise God for you guys in Philippi. Verse 16, it didn't just happen once. You sent me aid again and again when I was in need. And the result, verse 18, wonderful. Paul can say, I am amply supplied now that I have received your gifts. It's just a beautiful example, isn't it, of Christians being generous with what God has entrusted to them, giving gifts, and those gifts supporting a vital Christian ministry, and the gospel just spreading and spreading and spreading. And this morning we just heard another opportunity, haven't we, of how we can give to vital Christian ministry. So Paul has been so grateful for their gift, and yet here comes the crunch. Look at verse 10. He says, I'm not saying all this, I'm not thanking you like this because I am in need, he says. In other words, you guys in Philippi, don't read this letter, Philippians, as a desperate appeal letter. That is not what it is. If you don't send me one more gift, it's okay. I will be okay because, verse 11, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, it's on the screen. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. There were times when he was really hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Wow. Don't you kind of react like that? Isn't that challenging? I find it inspiring. A man who has learned, there's a process here of learning the secret of being content. But a question I'm wanting to ask Paul as I read verse 12 is, all right, what is it? What's the secret? You've learned the secret. You've told us that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. And that all things must include being content then in any and every situation. So what is the secret, Paul? It's a big issue for us, isn't it? Big issue for me. Greed, covetousness in the Western world. We have so much stuff, don't we? But we are always being tempted every single day to get more stuff and lose our contentment in God. There's the battle. And it's a serious one because Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 that greed actually is idolatry. That we end up treasuring something above God, which the first commandment warns us never to do. So, big question, how do we fight this temptation to covet, to be greedy, and to be discontented? I'm going to take you away from Philippians again for a moment, because Hebrews 13 gives us, I think, the clearest answer. Let's read it, verse by verse. You can turn to it if you like to. The writer to the Hebrew believers, who are going through all kinds of trials, tempted to throw the towel in and give up on Jesus, he says to them this: keep your lives free from the love of money. So don't do that. Don't live for this world, he says. There's an alternative. Read on. Instead, be content with what you have. There it is. There's our theme for this morning. All right. Well, how do you get that contentment? How do you battle for contentment? Because, here's the reason, because God has said, oh, that's interesting and helpful, isn't it? I battle for contentment by realizing God said something to me. God has promised me something. What's he promised? I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Can you see the connections there? When we're tempted to love money, to chase after stuff, to be greedy, to lay up treasures on earth, the main way we fight that temptation is to say, hang on a minute, God has said something to me. He's promised me something, that he is with me, and he will never leave me. He is on my side. He will meet my needs. Maybe not my wants for that BMW sports, but my deepest needs he will meet. In effect, what is Jesus saying through this promise? He's saying, I am enough. I am the real treasure that you need. And if you're anything like me, you struggle to believe that. Because the lying whispers of sin, I mean, what do they whisper to us? We see something like a car, they say, you need that. Or you must have this. I mean, if you had that, then your life would be complete. And all the time, Jesus is saying, you don't need that. You don't need this. What you need is me. With my grace, you have all that you need. The secret of contentment. And, you know, Paul had grasped it. He'd learned that secret of being content. One other passage, then back to Philippians. 2 Corinthians, Paul writing again, it's really a passage on contentment, where Paul is saying, unlike some, he is just content to keep on living the Christian life, to keep on serving God, whatever happens. He will not quit doing that. So look at the words. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Well, how does he commend himself as a genuine apostle? Well, in great endurance, I'm going to keep on going, whatever. In troubles, in hardships, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, he was many times, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich. Now here's the punchline. Having nothing. Having nothing. How can Paul be content in those moments when he had nothing? And you read on, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Paul knew he already possessed the most precious thing in the world. Not a thing, a person. Jesus Christ. He knows if he has Jesus, he really does have all that he needs. So there's the secret of contentment. It's not a thing, it's a person. It is Jesus, remembering all that we have in him. What do we have? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We don't need to chase after more stuff if we have the treasure of the universe, Jesus. And getting together like this is part of God's plan for us to realign our thinking and our hearts, our desires, so that we realize, hey, we have God's Son. We don't need to chase after the things of this world. We can be content. One final encouragement as we close this morning. Just notice how Philippians 4, Philippians as a letter, closes. Verse 23. One of those verses it's easy just to read and kind of pick up your coffee again, isn't it? Philippians 4, verse 23. Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And I learned from some reading a year or two back that every one of Paul's 13 letters ends in this way. Every one. Or words very similar. The grace of Jesus be with you. And every one of his 13 letters starts in a very similar way by saying, like Philippians 1 verse 2 does, grace and peace to you. So Paul picks up his pen, as it were, and says, grace to you, as I write. And as he closes off, he says, grace be with you. Every letter, no coincidence. So what's going on? Well, it's got to be more than him saying hi at the start and goodbye at the end. It's more than that. And this is what's happening. As he says, grace to you, he's saying, as I write these God-inspired words to you, God's grace is going to flow into your life as he encourages you with all your anxieties and fears, as he challenges you to the core of your being and exposes the real you. God's grace is flowing to you. Then he gets to the end of his letter and he signs off by saying, grace, God's grace be with you. Remember, he's writing to a group of believers like us in the first century, facing such a hostile world, being hauled off to prison for believing in Jesus or worse. And they've had this letter from the Apostle Paul and he signs off and he's saying, you know what, that's it, I'm leaving you now. But God's grace is not leaving you. Grace be with you. When you leave this meeting, God's grace goes with you into whatever it is you're facing. I don't know what you're going back to this morning, what you're facing this week. God does, and his word to us this morning is, my grace be with you. Be with you this morning as you leave here. Be with you tomorrow and every moment of every single day to enable you and me to be the people God calls us to be. To do what he wants us to do, to go through what he calls us to go through, to help us to keep believing, to keep trusting, to help us to be content, whatever the situations. Isn't that encouraging? The secret of contentment is knowing that God's grace is sufficient, and if we have Jesus, we really do have all that we need. Let's bow our heads for a moment. It's a moment's silence, opportunity just to respond privately in our hearts. Thanking God for his promise. Maybe confessing some deep discontentment. And thanking him again for all that is yours in Christ Jesus. Lord God, thank you for your word, these inspired words of truth and life that we've read this morning. Thank you for your incredible commitment to us, your promises, amazing promises to us. And we need your Spirit's help this morning to believe them, to live the rest of this day, the rest of this week, as if those promises are true. Help us, we pray, to do that. Help us to believe that your grace is sufficient for whatever it is we are facing. Give us such a supernatural peace as we head into this week, we pray. Would you please give us victory over any anxiety that's in our spirit this morning, which is crippling us and dishonoring you? Would you forgive us, Lord, for any lack of contentment in our hearts? kind of discontentment which implies that you're not enough and what you've given us is just not enough. We need more, something else. Forgive us for that, Lord, we pray. And would you help us to rediscover the joy that Philippians talks about again and again, that comes from knowing that you are everything and that in you we really do have the treasure of the universe. We really do have all that we need for these coming days. Lord, we praise you for being such a faithful God and Saviour. Write these truths on our hearts. Transform us by them, we pray, in your name. Amen.